This week we introduce a new feature, a look back at what was happening in Pelham 20 years ago this week. According to that week's edition of The Voice of Pelham, the print predecessor of Pelham Today. Why 20 years? Well, it's a nice round number, and more importantly, I have 2005's files on CDs. Remember those? That are reasonably easy to convert to text. That said, errors are bound to creep in, so apologies in advance. To a lot of us, 2005 seems more or less like yesterday, yet it is undeniably two decades ago. Like so many memories of yesteryear, many of these stories strike me, and likely will strike you, as bathed in a golden hue of a more innocent, happier time. Yet let us not be fooled. Emotions ran high, tempers flared, and controversies ensued. The more things change, the more they, etc. But let's start with a story that really does seem the definition of innocence, the budding entry of a Crossley Co-op student into his possible life's calling, the law. Student Graham Kinsman wrote the first-person account below of his co-op placement in a Welland law firm. The question 20 years later is, whatever happened to Graham Kinsman? An admittedly quick online search turned up nothing concrete. But guess what? Within 24 hours of this story originally running last week, one Graham Kinsman has been located, safe and sound, and, spoiler alert, he's not a lawyer. Why not? Tune in later this coming week to find out. And now, on to January 5, 2005. Legal Eagle in Co-op Program by Graham Kinsman. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. The truth about being a lawyer in real life, that is. A lot of people stereotype the legal profession as being fast-paced, and in court arguing high-profile cases much of the time. Well, this is not the case, pardon the pun. Recently, I began a cooperative education placement at a well-respected law firm named Lancaster, Brooks & Welch. The office is located at 247 East Main Street, Welland, and there is another office in St. Catharines. Lancaster, Brooks & Welch Barristers and Solicitors is a legal firm specializing in civil law. The lawyers that I am assisting deal mainly in family law and real estate. I chose to apply for a co-op placement at Lancaster, Brooks & Welch because I am interested in completing law school after graduating from E.L. Crossley Secondary School. I wanted to be able to do some hands-on legal work and learn how a law firm functions. I have taken the grade 11 law course at Crossley, and am finding that it comes in useful at my co-op placement. Some of the Latin terms that I learned in my class, mens rea, actus reus, would have had me lost if I had not taken the course. At LBW, I have the title of legal assistant. I am mainly a go-to man. If anyone needs some banking done, they call on me. Letters need to be delivered? Also done by me. So far, I have strengthened some employability skills at my placement. Doing legal research helps my time management and research skills, while banking and delivering letters helps my interpersonal skills. The most exciting aspect of working at LBW is being able to do legal research regarding actual cases and sitting in on court cases at the Welland Courthouse now and then. I was also accompanied to the Welland Land Registry office where I was shown how to search for land deeds, a lengthy process. I would like to take this opportunity to thank my co-workers and the team at Lancaster, Brooks & Welch. Ever since my interview there I have been treated with respect and I am able to easily get along with everyone there. So, keep your eyes peeled for my name when I get older, I may just be the one to get you out of a legal jam. Meanwhile, in letters to the editor, longtime Pelham resident and nearly as longtime president of the Pelham Historical Society, Mary Lamb came out in favor of gay marriage, proving that her instincts as to the right side of history were on the mark. Ding Dong the Witch is Dead. By providential coincidence, I woke up this morning to the delightful news that the repulsive Anita Bryant has at last been shown her table in hell. Bryant's name is likely unknown to most anyone under 60. But be assured that Miss Oklahoma 1958 and the one-time 60s pop singer hawking Florida orange juice was a nasty piece of work, one who kamikazed her career through virulently anti-gay activism in the late 1970s, sparking the start of the evangelical far-right's continuing battle plans to today, now focused on trans people. Stalin, Pol Pot, Bryant. Differences of degree, not type. Drinks are on me tonight. The first issue of 2005 also included a recap of 2004 highlights, and it's quite something to behold. Pelham's perennial political candidate and favorite gadfly, well, its most persistent gadfly, Wally Braun, lost his council race in 2003, challenged the result in 2004, and, oh, heck. Just have a look. It's right near the top of January's recap. Brock professor and counselor Uwe Brand, memorably nicknamed Dr. Number, by fellow counselor Sharon Cook, for his tendency to, you know, vote no, was not happy about contributing to the new Welland YMCA. Mayor Ron Levens entered into discussions, secret discussions, concerning the purchase of what would become the site of the Meridian Community Center over a decade later, which effectively and regrettably ended his political career. And Dean Allison was first elected as MP. Wow, 20 years in office there, Dean. And people are saying that poor Justin's 9 years was just too long. The mayor's youth advisory council was started, Ann Robbins was chosen citizen of the year, Casa Romana restaurant closed, Marlene Stewart Strite was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame, a traffic light was planned for Station Street and Highway 20, and a BIA, or business improvement area, was discussed for Font Hill, an effort ultimately defeated by skinflint business owners who didn't want to pay the slight extra property tax to fund it. New development charges were approved, annoying that most easily annoyed lobby, property developers, who threatened to appeal the new bylaw before the OM. Sound familiar? Something called the Greenbelt was proposed, a new means of protecting valuable open land. Huh, sounds like a great idea. But please, you're saying, no more spoilers. Read on, friends, read on. 2004 has been an interesting year for Pelham. January. A snowstorm opened the year for Pelham, delaying the opening ceremonies of the International Silver Stick Tournament, hosted by Pelham Minor Hockey. The new year also brought a court date for the town, as Wally Braun, who lost the municipal election in November of 2003, challenged the results of that election. Braun's request for a recount was denied, so he took it to the next step, the Ontario Court of Justice. Braun's case actually started in December, but he failed to show, so town staff and a town lawyer spent much of the early part of the year in court before Braun's case was finally dismissed on April 30. January, as always, is a time for pondering ways to make the future better, and it was no different for Pelham, as Mayor Ron Levens and Council finalized plans for a strategic planning session that would result in Vision 2015, a long-term plan for Pelham's future. The plan was brought to Council in September, and accepted by Council without any bells or whistles. As January came to a close, Councillor Uwe Brand stirred up some controversy, with his suggestion that Pelham opt out of its agreement to partner in the construction of a new YMCA in Welland. Levens, although always against the partner agreement, opposed Brand's suggestion and the rest of Council agreed, voting to remain in the partnership for the good of Pelham's reputation, despite the $583,000 cost. February. In February, Levens announced plans to develop a Mayor's Youth Advisory Council in Pelham. The council was created to give local youth a venue to help create solutions to issues in the municipality and develop programs for youth, rather than continually chasing young people out of public parks and parking lots. A brainstorming session was held March 31, and from there a group of youth was chosen to become the council. Since then, the council has been busy in Pelham, holding events, helping with community projects, and working toward making Pelham a better place for youth. February is also the time when the Font Hill and District Kinsmen select their Citizen of the Year. In 2003, that person was Ann Robbins, a longtime volunteer in the community. Robbins was nominated by three different organizations, each unaware that she worked so extensively with the others, proving that not only is she committed to Pelham, she's pretty humble too. Crossley's drama department picked up some nice hardware in February, with the production of Fishy Business taking several awards, including a second-place finish, at the Sears Drama Festival. March. In March of 2004, Pelham celebrated the 25th anniversary of our first-ever OMHA championship win. The Fedor Motorsports Adams took St. George in four straight games, finishing on March 22, 1979 with a 3-0 shutout on home ice, to win the first provincial hockey title in Pelham. Later in the month, the Pelham Ontario Power Generation Bantam A.E. Panthers won the OMHA title, picking up Pelham's first provincial win in 23 years. It was in March that Pelham saw the end of an era, as Virgilio Battaglini retired after 33 years of running the Casa Romana restaurant in Fonthill. At the age of 72, Battaglini felt he deserved some time off, while regular customers wondered where they'd get pizzas on Thursdays and special dinners on Sunday nights. April. April in Pelham is time for the Kinsmen's home show, which received a makeover in 2004 to become more of a recreation and leisure show and less of a business show. April was a big month for Pelham Cares as well. It was when the organization, which has been serving Pelham for more than 25 years on a volunteer basis, asked for help for the first time in its history. The need for a stable budget came from requirements for proper food storage and liability insurance to protect the volunteers. The need was met by the Kinsmen, who donated $5,000. April is Rotary Month and the local Rotary Club made a big request to commemorate Rotary's centennial, pledging to raise $50,000 to outfit the E.L. Crossley Marching Band in new uniforms, replacing 25-year-old, worn-out uniforms. The bucks for the band fundraiser continues, although the campaign did receive some help from a $50,000 Trillium grant that will be used to buy new instruments and a $5,000 grant from the Niagara Community Foundation. It was in April that we first learned Marlene Stewart Strite, a Fonthill native and student of Gord McGuinness Sr., would make history as the first Canadian inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. Inducted in the veterans category, Stewart Strite was recognized for an amazing career that has spanned six decades. The induction took place in November. May. May was a big month for Pelham businesses. Klaeger's celebrated its 70th anniversary, Star Tile Carpet One celebrated a 50th birthday, and Pix marked 25 years in business. In May, Council decided to make a major change in Pelham's water system, changing how water is billed. The resulting increase in bills, based more on user pay than a flat rate, had councillors' phones ringing off the hook, but they maintain that the new system is the way of the future. In May, Pelham's firefighters started a $35,000 fundraising campaign to purchase three thermal imaging cameras, one for each station, to assist firefighters at emergency scenes. The cameras see heat and can pick up fire inside walls, smoldering hot spots, or body heat from a missing person. The campaign was successful, and firefighters presented the three new cameras to council in the fall. June. Council passed the budget in June, an act that would result in debate over the final numbers for months to come. Promising a 5-7% increase, Council approved a budget with a tax increase of 6.4%. But Brand maintained throughout the year that the promised goal was a 5-7% increase in spending, not taxes, which Council missed by a large margin, okaying a more than 15% increase in spending. The debate resulted in Bill Snyder being ejected from a council meeting in controversy that spilled over to the library board in debate between Snyder and Councillor Malcolm Allen, both members of the board. The debate died down just in time for council to begin work on the 2005 budget. June was also the month in which Mayor Levins announced his negotiations with a private company interested in bringing a recreation complex to Pelham. Although the details of the deal are still largely secret, an ad hoc committee has been formed to look at the deal and decide whether it's a good one for Pelham. Their advice will be rendered in February. In the meantime, the town is working on a deal to purchase land in town to house the complex, also still a secret. The future look of Regional Road 20 was a hot topic for most of the year, with a local group of volunteers working as an ad hoc committee to come up with a design better suited to Pelham. In the end, the region and the committee came to agreement on almost every issue, except the number of lanes through the village, after meeting in June. Waiting for the work to be completed is the only issue now. In June, a handful of members of Pelham Minor Hockey Association, along with voice editor Sarah Gibson, headed to Toronto for the Ontario Minor Hockey Association's annual general meeting and luncheon. When lunch was over, local hockey player Andy Gearing was honored with the Wally Scott Bursary and Gibson was honored with the George H. Carver Memorial Print Media Award. July kicked off as it always does in Pelham, with a huge birthday bash to celebrate Canada Day. In July, Council passed its new development charges bylaw, increasing the fees the town charges to builders for new development in town, a fee used to cover the cost of development, from infrastructure to water and sewer service. Developers weren't too happy, threatening OM appeals of the bylaw. Approval came to put traffic lights at Station Street and Regional Road 20, increasing safety for children walking to school. Although the region is ready to go ahead with the project, and has budgeted the money, no work can begin until an environmental assessment is okayed by the province. August. After weeks and months of campaigning, the federal election was held and in August, our new MP, Conservative Dean Allison, was sworn in. After a summer of checking out gardens for the Trillium Awards, cleaning up the downtown cores, planting flower beds and preparing for the coming of the judges, the Communities in Bloom Committee hosted two judges for the national competition in August, treating them to breakfast at Keith's, lunch at Lookout Point, a reception dinner and a tour of everything that makes Pelham beautiful. The results were in late in the fall, with Pelham picking up 4 blooms out of 5, the same score Pelham received in 2002. September. Back to school and back to the regular routine after another wonderful summer in Pelham. September was the month for Pelham's water scare, when a Mo website detailed fines against a lab for not properly reporting a bad water test result for Pelham. Brought before council before all the details of the issue were known, the information caused quite a stir in town as councillors and residents had visions of Walkerton. In the end, the truth revealed that the water was not contaminated, that town staff had taken proper precautions when the results were found, and that the fines charged by the Mo were simply part of the ministry's new, zero-tolerance, policy and was more of an administrative, rather than water quality, issue. October. In October, a steering committee began meeting with regards to creating a business improvement area, BIA, in Pelham. A BIA, if developed, would have a budget to undertake various projects within the area to improve and help revitalize Pelham's business community. Although October isn't prime time to be thinking about lawns, it was the month when the pesticide issue reared its persistent head in Pelham. After the previous council made a decision to do nothing about the cosmetic use of pesticides in Pelham, the current council chose to hear the debate for themselves and scheduled a public meeting in October. Despite a plethora of opinion on both sides of the issue, council said they wouldn't be making a decision until 2005, allowing councillors an opportunity for some private research before voting. November was when we first began hearing about the Greenbelt legislation, a provincial project that will protect 1.8 million acres of rural land from development in an attempt to preserve agricultural heritage land. In Pelham, almost every piece of land not within the urban boundaries will be protected under the draft plan, and land that isn't currently farmed will be labeled tender fruit and grape lands. The issue has been delayed as the province has bowed under pressure from municipalities and stakeholder groups to allow more time for review and debate of the plan. Greenbelt will certainly be a word we'll be hearing about in 2005. December brings Christmas, and with it an outpouring of giving from local residents. Check presentations, food drives, toy drives, clothing donations, and support for organizations such as Pelham Cares dominated the headlines in December. In December, we heard that the rumors are true, the Beamers have sold the fruit market and are retiring, you've only got until January 15th to stock up on your favorites before they close. December was also when your voice got just a little bit louder, introducing the voice of Thorold, a community newspaper for the neighboring municipality. Back to 2025 now, and the news that the voice of Thorold lasted all of, I think, 8 months, before wiser counsel prevailed and the plug was pulled, long before my time. Finally, remember these young nippers, owners of a pizzeria and a Timmy's franchise? They drop the puck for the Pelham Novice Series Challenge, and the unforgettable Pelham Lumberjacks. 30.